Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday and good evening to everyone who listens to the show. I'm Veronica McMillan, your host of Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. I will be flying solo tonight. Again, my co-host Francine Humphrey will not be with us tonight. Hopefully she'll be back with us next week, but of course she's taking care of business as she always does. And I'm basically tonight, I'm hoping to have a special guest to come on to our show tonight, but basically let me tell you a little bit about Issues Concerning Women and what Francine and I stand for. So basically, Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals, existing in the areas of business, career, housing, finance, and life skills. The micro nonprofit network helps small organizations become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. Francine and I both basically, we're just advocates. We really believe in helping individuals, be they women or men. Of course, our niche market is primarily women, but certainly what we want to do is to help anyone who's interested in becoming an entrepreneur. Basically, what we do is we offer advocacy services to infuse and stabilize household and foster a sense of community involvement and self-worth and self-determination. Our vision is to empower women through hands-on demonstrations, home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, exercise and nutrition, entrepreneurship, relationship building, and adult literacy programs. We try very hard to make a difference with what we have. Basically, we have been advocates on the forefront, in the trenches, doing everything that we possibly can to help empower women specifically, but entrepreneurs so that they have a greater understanding of what they're doing in business, be it their own nonprofit or be it their for-profit organization. So if you would like to contact Francine, you can contact her at icwdirector@gmail.com, and you can certainly reach her on the website at issuesconcerningwomen.org, or you may contact me, yours truly, Veronica McMillan, at info@micrononprofitnetwork.org, or go to our website at the micrononprofitnetwork.org. Tonight, basically, this is our segment where we talk about In the Voices of Students, and what we try to do is we try to give students a voice and basically help them to understand how to be entrepreneurs or to be able to tell us about the burning issues that students are facing today. And we try to help them understand what broadcast radio is about, talking on the radio, all of that stuff. And so hopefully later in the show we'll have a student of mine to come on because this is important that for me, I'm really concerned about college students. And so I want to specifically talk about an incident that I saw on, and I'm sure you all have seen this as well. It was an incident where a young man, I believe he was in high school in California, was coming to school and basically had a gun. And I shared this with my class the other day, and I'm sharing it with you all today because this is where my heart is and where my passion is. This is one of the reasons why we take this radio show, and we try to extend it to the community so that the community at large is understanding what is going on, as well as basically being a voice. But anyhow, the young man comes into the school with the gun, and I don't necessarily know how the coach saw it, but from the newscast, it was just basically a bunch of students flying outside of the school because this young man comes into the school with this rifle and basically is confronted by the coach and another teacher takes the gun and takes it away. But the big thing was the coach and the young man embrace, because the young man, from what the news was saying, is that the young man primarily was coming to school to commit suicide, and he was intervened by the coach, and then this loving sort of embrace happens where the coach is hugging this young student because of the fact that he was trying to say, you don't have to take your own life. You can have someone to talk to. And then, of course, he got 3 years probation or what have you. But my heart goes out to them. And so basically what I did was talk to my class. Well, ask my class this question: what does love mean to you? And so it was the prompting of just a very good conversation in school, because of the fact that there is so much going on. There's so much going on with kids. There's so much going on with families and what have you. And my heart goes out. And so I asked my students, you know, what was love? And they all kind of had, you know, different answers: how love is demonstrated, how love is shown, how love is caring, how love basically is compassion for others and empathy for others and all of that. And so what I started doing, I sort of kind of got stole this idea from another young lady that I saw on news in here in the Virginia Beach area, and she was standing outside of an event, and she said she had a big sign up that we're giving hugs and anybody want a hug. And so I decided that since I threw that out there to my students, that I was going to say, hey, basically, does anybody want a hug? I'm giving out hugs, because it was that important to me for them to know that first of all, they are heard as part of what we do on this show, whether it be students, whether it be women, whether it be men, entrepreneurs, or what have you. Are you being heard? And then it was amazing to me, not all of my students, because they probably say, oh, my God, what is Professor M doing? She is talking about hugging and what have you. But I did it because that's what came to me, because I truly believe that love is demonstrated. You have to show the love. And I think with students, where they are, they're coming up in a generation or in a time period where we have to have these school drills to protect our babies. We have to help them to understand this is what you do. There's an active shooting. This is just unheard of 20 years ago, but yet our college students, our elementary students, our students in high school are faced with this enormous burden of what happens if someone comes into our environment, be it another student, be it a hate monger, be it someone who feels as though that a certain race of people should not be here on the face of the earth, and they're going to demolish, to kill as many people as they possibly can, and thus we have this issue. And so I just basically from that specific act wanted the students to understand the importance of what love was. And so it's important to me, basically, as Francine and I do these shows, to reach out, to have students to know that they have a voice, that they are being heard, that we reach out to them and we basically support them in their efforts. And so we wanted to make sure that all of our episodes, no matter what we do, that we will have in the voices of students. But before I go on to start some of the questions that I was going to speak to my students about, I specifically want to say how you can contact Francine and I if you need to contact Ms. Francine Humphrey, who is the president and founder of Issues Concerning Women. So you can connect with her at icwdirector@gmail.com, or you can connect with her on the web at issuesconcerningwomen.org. And if you need to contact me, yours truly, Veronica McMillan, you can contact me via email at info@micrononprofitnetwork.org, or you can go to our website at themicrononprofitnetwork.org. And since I'm on that vein of college and all the stuff, I know we all have seen, heard, or what have you, what is going on with the different celebrity stars who purchase their kids an opportunity to be either on a football or a swim team, lacrosse team, or basically someone takes your SATs for, not SATs, your college exam or whatever it is to get on, you know, to the different, what I want to call the Ivy League, the cream de la creme of colleges. We saw these families paid lots of money, in some cases almost $500,000 in some cases. We saw Felicity Huffman, I think she was tried, found guilty, 14 days or what have you, and then the other young lady, I can't think of her name right now, but we all remember the TV show that she was on or what have you, and then she had her daughters who basically were getting sponsors and contracts and all of that stuff because of the fact that, you know, they're celebrities or what have you. But yet, you know, I think about this, and I've been saying, here I am, I'm a college instructor. And I've had a son to attend Georgetown University, so I know how difficult it is to get on, get into these Ivy Leagues or the best universities in the in this country. But yet, we have families who want to buy their way in, and then when they buy their way into college, they then basically they found guilty, but literally to me get a slap on the wrist. And I'm feeling some kind of way about that because, again, I know how hard college students have to, I can't even think of the word, what they got to do to get in. Because I know for my son, getting into Georgetown, yes, he was basically a really, really, really good football player. He was just athletic all around, but he had to have brain power also to get in to Georgetown University. It wasn't no affirmative action sort of kind of thing. It wasn't any of that, but yet he was able to get in there and to do his best. So I feel some kind of way about this, and then also knowing that when we start looking at our college students who basically have to get in debt to go to college, spend 4 years or more of their lives in school, and then to know that there was someone that paid their way, that it rubs me the wrong way, and I'm so sorry that I don't have my students to come online tonight with me, but it's just appalling to me to know that that's going on. And so some of the things that I think was happening on college campuses is students are faced with challenges that I just did not have when I was going to school. And that's one of the reasons why in my class I try to make my class so more world-like so that when they go out there that the things that they learn transfers very well into their lives when they go out there on their jobs, when they have family, when they're in relationships or what have you, and try to help them to understand the importance of those transferable skills. But I think not just those transferable skills, but what are college students have to face today? A lot of college students primarily are having to deal with the pressure of being in college and having all of the things that they are faced with in terms of their education, in terms of their degrees that they're selecting. One of the big things that I try to make sure for my students is making sure that they're choosing the right degree. And for those of you all parents who listen to us, you know, on a weekly basis, this is something that I really want you to really hone in on. Make sure that if your son or daughter is going to college, that they've made their mind up, is this going to be a transfer degree that I'm going to be in, or is this going to be a degree that I'm going to go on and just go straight to work? Because that's going to be important, because a lot of students, one of the challenges, and I want to speak to some of the challenges that I think students face, one of the challenges is not deciding the correct degree that they want. Typically what happens, and what happens for a lot of students, is they come right out of high school into college, and they're not prepared for that whole college setting. One of the things that we do, one of the first assignments that I do in my class is, why did you come to college? I always tell my students my story of why I came to college and all of that stuff. But basically, I think we have to help them to understand that one of the challenges is going to be is that you're not going to be prepared for that college life initially when you get there. And so you help them. That's one of the reasons why we have a student orientation. All colleges now, I believe, have this student orientation piece going on, because students are not being prepared as they should. They're not coming to college understanding that they're going to have a lot of free time. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. And so you're going to have to choose wisely. So you have to choose the degree that is going to be a degree that's going to either transfer or prepare you for the work environment. And so students and parents, please understand, choose your degree wisely. Choose the degree that you feel as though that is going to help you to get into a four-year college. And most of your colleges are doing something to help prepare students for four-year. Most of them usually have a transfer professional, someone who works in the college there. We certainly have the academic advisors in different departments to help the students do their best in planning their classes out or what have you. But I think students have to come to college understanding, okay, I think I have these two majors that I'm really kind of interested in, or these two professions that I'm really interested in, and settle on those and not go back and forth. We usually also have academic advisors to come in to speak to our students to help them to understand what it is that they're doing. And then the other thing that I think students, the challenge that students are facing, is that they're taking financial aid and not really understanding what they're doing. They're really, really, really messing themselves up because they're taking their aid early in their educational career, which when they really settle down, it's like, okay, I know what it is. This is what I'm going to do. They then have so much debt. I was looking at I can't remember what show it was, but they were talking about trillions of dollars in debt, trillions of dollars in loans, and students are coming out of college $200,000 and $300,000 in debt. That, again, is unheard of. For me, I remember, and I get it, because I was saying to another colleague, oh, man, when I first got in college, I didn't know what I was doing or what have you. And it was easier to get loans, and there were more grants and all of that stuff when I came along than what students have now, have access to, although there are still different scholarships out there, a variety of scholarships for students to choose from. But yet, you know, they are still finding themselves just in an enormous amount of debt. And so parents that listen to us, for those of you who are on the line, one of the challenges, another challenge that a student faces, not just trying to find which degree that I'm going to land on, but make sure that you really understand the financial aid part of this. Because if ultimately, if you want to go the long distance, you start off, let's say, for instance, you get your associate's degree, you go on to go bachelor's, master's, PhD, or whatever it is that you want to go, if you don't have a war chest somewhere where there's money set aside for you to do that, then you're stuck to in that place of getting loans. So you really have to be really mindful, mindful, and choose your financial aid, or choose what it is that you're going to do for yourself wisely, because it is really a challenge for students. And so tonight you're listening to Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. I'm Veronica McMillan, your host. We're talking about college students and some of the challenges that college students have to face, some of the challenges that students face in terms of coming to college for the first time, choosing a career, choosing a degree, and making sure that, you know, they're choosing it right because of the fact of the long-term effects and impact that this will have upon them when they go out into the world. And so I want to make sure that students are prepared, parents are prepared. So if you want to connect with me, Veronica McMillan, you can connect with us at the info@micrononprofitnetwork.org, which is our email, or you can go at the micrononprofitnetwork.org. If you need to connect with Francine, you can connect with her at icwdirector@gmail.com, or you can connect with her via her website at issuesconcerningwomen.org. I want to move on to another challenge that I really think that college students are facing, and that is having resources for college students that have children. I think this is another area that sometimes we don't talk about. I know for where I teach at, we at one time had a daycare facility for college students who were parents, and that daycare center closed up. And then I know that for other colleges, because I was a single mom when I started college, and it still is for a lot of young college students, parents, or what have you, finding the proper daycare. I think this is a challenge that all colleges are going to have to face. You have lots of college students that come to college with children. I have a granddaughter that recently had my great granddaughter, and she's faced with this issue. And I think that we just in planning or thinking about college, that was not in the forefront. Now it's becoming a challenge. I can remember probably a semester ago, I had a young lady in my class, and that was one of the things that she said. She said, I cannot find a daycare provider for my son, and so I am going to not attend class on this particular day because of the fact that there was no one to watch her baby. And I think college campuses around this country are really going to have to really get sensitive and really understand that if you're going to have moms that come, young moms that come, even dads, because again, we know that there are fathers who are also parents as well, and they're stepping up to the plate and also being a parent, and so, but they also want to attend college, and so we have to look at that. How do we address this issue of childcare? Because I don't know what our college did, but I do know that particular daycare, it was gone. And I'm sure it impacted many students. Of course, as an instructor, we don't get the information in terms of surveys or what has happened with the students in that regard. But I know that this is a challenge for students really having the child care that they need to help them to go through that whole process of going through college and what have you. And I can remember clearly when I was going, again, I'm dating myself way back in the 70s, going to college and having family members that stepped up that helped me, and then having daycare so that, you know, that my son could go to he could go to daycare while I went to school. And it's still an issue in 2019. College students are having to look at that and say, I have to choose between either going to college or just staying home because of the fact that I don't have daycare for my children. This is something that's a challenge that I don't think that we even thought about or that a lot of administrators think about when it comes to college students. So I think we have to do a better job of doing our very best to make sure we can provide accommodations for college students. I want to segue a little bit because I really want to speak to African-American males in college and the obstacles that they have to face and why I believe it's important for Black males to be educated because of the fact that they are faced with so many obstacles. In my classes that I teach, we certainly have a good number of male students in the class, and We have a good number of those male students being African-American males. And one of the things that our dean was really talking about is that there's not enough support for African-American males in the education arena because they are hit with so many obstacles. They are hit with the fact that, you know, just being black and being male and riding down in your car and being in a situation or getting in a situation where it could be dangerous, it could be volatile for you simply because of the fact that you are a black male. And even on college campuses, just making sure that basically you're doing the right things, excuse me, that you're not getting in trouble, even though we're seeing now some of our fraternities kind of getting in trouble and stuff for hazing and all of that stuff. But I think our African-American males have a greater obstacle because of the fact that they are dealing with so much, I hate to say it, but there's so much hatred and dislike for that black skin or that brown skin, and that we as society are going to have to deal with this. And I think that basically why it's important for our black men to be educated is that we have another generation of boys coming after them. And they're seeing themselves being gunned down. When I say seeing themselves, when you see another black or brown young man, whether he be 10 years old or whether he's 20 or 30 years old, they face the same kind of issues. It's crazy that I have to say that, but they do. You can get killed at 10 just like you can get killed at 25 or 30. And so I think it's important that we have educated black males to help deal with our black men and boys that step onto college campuses, because they're not seeing a lot of men that look like them. And if they don't see a lot of men that look like them, then I think that is a drawback from them, that they're like, hey, this is not the place for me. But we got to have educated black men on college campuses so that they can educate their community, so that our young boys who are growing up, I have grandsons, and I was just thinking about this the other day. I was just thinking about how we have to prepare them. And my grandbabies, are, of course, young right now. But when they go to college, what would that environment look like for them? Will there be other black men who are in the education, the professor, the engineer, the dean? Will they see black men in those positions? And I think it's important. And I think that what our sons have to see, what my grandsons, when they get to college age, when they decide that they want to go to college, they got to see themselves represented on the college campuses, because if they don't have that, that's going to be a turnoff for them. And we need more and more of our black boys, black men educated, specifically because of the fact that there's a need for them. There's a tremendous outcry for having black boys or black representation on college campuses, and we just got to have it. And as a college instructor, I know we got to have it. I heard our dean say that basically we got to do something to attract black males to the college. Are we speaking their language? Are they seeing a representation of them on college campuses? Can they come into that college environment and feel welcomed, or do they feel as though this is not the place for me? And so I would love for us to continue the conversation on this particular topic, because it's such an important one that we must have. You're listening to Veronica McMillan on Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. If you need to contact me, you can contact me at info@micrononprofitnetwork or on our website at themicrononprofitnetwork.org. If you need to reach out to Francine Humphrey, you can connect with her at icwdirector@gmail.com or issuesconcerningwomen.org. It has always been a pleasure. We enjoy every Thursday night that we have the opportunity to have you all listen to us and for us to be able to pour into you all. It is we consider ourselves to be blessed because we're able to do this every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. We will see you all next Thursday. Do something great. Bye-bye now.